certainly want us as staff to be listening to what this information is telling us, and we'll intend to incorporate it in our thinking as we move forward. Having said that, I want Kurt to very briefly provide an overview of what this information is telling us.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to share the information with you. As Dr. Neerad said, I'll be very brief with my comments. I'm going to be reflecting off of the summary that you received with your packet on this topic. There were a series of surveys that were conducted representing four different groups. Those groups included students who are currently residing in our attendance area but were attending schools of either a private or parochial nature. Another group of students who were attending other public school districts through the state's open enrollment program but were residents of our district. A third group of residents who were receiving their instruction via home-based instructional approaches. And then finally, the fourth group were also open enrollment students, but they were students who were not resident in our district but are attending our schools via the open enrollment. So just the opposite of the other open enrollment group. We administered the survey between December and February of this past school year. The survey went out as both a mail survey as well as an online option. So we had a couple of different approaches for folks to respond. The response rates were based on my experience. We did conduct two mailings, an initial mailing and then a second response, a second mailing to those who are non-respondents. The response rates ranged between 36% of households at the high end, and that was for the private parochial group, to a low of 18% of households, and that was for the home-based instructional group. Based on my experience, having done surveys before I came to the district, as well as with since I've been here, I would say that this is a fairly standard response rate based on the approach we took. Also, looking at the responses, particularly in certain subgroups, for example, for the private parochial, what we did see was a response from primarily higher numbers of households where students were enrolled in certain Catholic elementary schools in town, and that does represent their enrollment in the population as well. Some highlights then, starting with the private parochial school respondents. About 60% of those respondents had indicated that their children began their private or parochial school experience beginning in kindergarten. So in other words, they never even attended a Madison school at any point in time. Two-thirds in total had never attended an MMSD school. A third of those who had never attended an MMSD, of the one-third of respondents who had attended an MMSD school, over half of those had spent less than 2 years in an MMSD school. So overall, roughly 80% had spent 2 years or less in the Madison schools of the respondents in the survey, the private parochial survey. The parents in this group of private parochial students cited two primary reasons for their decision to have their children attend a private or parochial school. We categorize those as environmental concerns and in religious wanting to pursue a religious education. Particularly within environmental concerns, there are often references to a couple of factors, one being disruptive students and others being discipline practices within our schools. We did a correlation analysis on these various reasons, and there was a very strong correlation between those two. In other words, if they cited one, they typically also cited the other. Environmental and religious. There were also curricular reasons cited by many respondents in the private parochial group, and very frequently those did refer to talented and gifted issues, programming issues and options. We asked in each of the surveys whether or not people would be interested in a couple of ideas that we had. One was whether or not they'd be interested in coming to the MMSD if they were given a choice to attend a school outside of their attendance area. The other was a question concerning whether or not they would participate in a full-time online program if the district were to offer one. Among the private parochial school parents who responded, 30% said they would be interested in considering a choice of an alternative attendance area school if one were provided, and 10%, roughly 10%, had indicated that they would look at a full-time online option if the district provided one. The next group that I'll summarize are those households where they made the decision to attend another public school district outside of the MMSD, even though they do reside in the Madison area, in the Madison Metropolitan School District attendance zone, and that would be via the state's open enrollment program. About an equal number of students attend a public school via open enrollment outside of Madison who are continuing students versus students who've left after attending an MMSD school. In other words, they had been attending attending a Madison school. They moved out of the area and therefore they wanted to continue I've got that just backwards. They were living outside of the Madison area. They moved into the Madison School District and they wanted to continue at their school where their child used to both reside and attend. So that was a 50-50 split in terms of this group that responded. Of the respondents, 70% attend districts who share boundaries within the area. So again, the primary option will be to attend a school via open enrollment that's adjacent to the Madison School District. Over a quarter of these quote-unquote leavers actually never attend the Madison School District. They leave as enrolling for the first time in kindergarten. Another one-third leave between levels, that transition level between elementary and middle and between middle and high. So all told, about 60% of the open enrollment leavers leave at one of three points, either entering as a kindergartner or transitioning into middle school or into high school. A majority of the parents whose children attend via another district via open enrollment cited environmental concerns again as their primary reason. And about a third who were attending a non-resident public school district indicated they would look at a full-time online program if it were offered by the district. And just under 20% indicated that they would look at a school choice option if one were available, where they could stay within the Madison School District but attend a different Madison school other than their local school. The next group I summarized in this document for you are the open enrollment enterers, those who are coming into Madison from, even though they reside outside of the Madison School District. And again, a majority of those are actually students that had moved out of the district and want to continue in the district. So a large proportion were continuing students. And that's obviously allowed under open enrollment statute. When asked what their primary reason was for attending the district under open enrollment, they cited being able to attend school with their friends as well as the curricular programs that were offered by the district. And then the final group that I'll summarize are the students who are provided a home-based education by their parents. A large majority of those households responded, cited again environmental concerns, primary reason for making the decision to be pulled. The other one though that comes up pretty frequently was parent control and flexibility, as parents wanting flexibility in how they educate their children and the options that they can provide them as a parent. When asked if their student had ever attended an MMSD school, over half of these parents in this group responded that they had not ever previously attended a Madison school. Roughly a third of those respondents reported they would be interested again in a full-time online option, considering that if it were available. Just over one in five parents indicated that they'd be interested in a school choice option. And then the other thing in this particular group that we asked them about was whether or not they were familiar with the fact that homeschooled students that reside in the attendance area, in the Madison attendance area, had the opportunity to take up to two courses per semester as a part-time student. And a third of those households responded saying they didn't know about the option. And of those, three-quarters of them were interested in getting information about how to enroll their children. And that summarizes the information I had for you this evening. Again, you have the reports, which are complete with a good deal of commentary that was provided. One other thing I would probably note was that there were several comments made about how pleased they were to have received the survey, and I think that's an important thing to note as well. So with that, I'll conclude and open it up to any questions.
Ms. Silvera?
This document is probably, in my opinion, one of the most useful documents that we've received, that I've received since I was on the board, and that's the one with all the comments, because it's just really hearing, the comments and the thoughts of what people truly feel, and that's, tremendous for seeing where our strengths and weaknesses are and where we need to make decisions. So thank you for providing us, thank you for doing the survey, thank you for pulling it together. It was really helpful. I think three things jumped out at me initially, and one was fine arts. There were many comments on music and art in as part of the curricular group, talented and gifted, and then the third I think was the environment, behavior, classroom management type umbrella. I think the timing is very good with our Fine Arts Task Force report and TAG plans that will be coming forward. I think with this information, we need to know that it's time to affirm our commitment to both the fine arts and talented and gifted, because it's just so obvious there, and I think we have the opportunity with both reports coming forward to be able to do that publicly. I think at some point we have to have a discussion, and I don't know how much detail we're going to get into tonight on the whole. What do we do with the information on the behavior? What plans are in place? That type of thing. But I also want to make sure that we find a way to communicate that we've read this information, we're listening to what people have to say, and that we're going to take action on some of the themes. Well, at least I hope we will take action on some of the themes that are in there, because although this is very valuable, just reading it isn't going to do us much good. And so if we can think about how we can best ensure that the community knows we're listening to them, we're going to put things in place, or things are in place that they may not know about, that we understand the gaps are there, let's do it. And I don't know, Superintendent, how you intend to move forward with all of this amount of data, but I guess maybe that would be more as a question. How right. do you intend to move forward with this amount of data?
Well, I think what it does is it serves as a lens for every report we look at. Now, yeah. I mean, obviously, as you look at all the input, no organization could respond to all of it.
No.
But there are themes here, and you've enumerated some of the important themes, and I think we do need to respond to those themes, and thankfully some of them align nicely to work that's being done right now. But it's going to be actionable over time, and a lot of this goes to for whatever reason, I'll put it in the trust category, and finding ways that we can build bridges and build more trust and yeah. build more involvement. And that point is really something that I think we can also look at in a structural way, too. I think we've already begun that in some ways, like through the engagement sessions that we're having. But that has to be an ongoing commitment. You just don't do engagement 1 year and then say, well, we engage with our community. It has to be part of the culture.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Ms. Moss?
Yeah, to add a couple of things to Ms. Silvera's list, I saw that foreign language was also figured very highly in a lot of people's opinions, foreign language starting at a young age. And I think that came up in the strategic plan in some of the opinions. I don't remember seeing a whole lot about foreign language. World language, I believe, was listed in several places. And I think that that also is something that's is doable for us. And the other thing I was thinking about is basically flexibility. And a lot of people said that they would be willing to look at online courses. And people said that they would be willing to look at taking 2 or 3 classes at an MMSD school. And I think that I think we need to start looking at that, because I know it is difficult now, even if a child has an IEP, to go to school, say, just in the morning and then maybe go home in the afternoon. And so I don't know what the DPI requirements are. I'm sure that there are many. And I don't know what the requirement is for time spent for us to be able to count a student. And so... But I do think that we need to look at that, because we may be able to bring more students in, and as they take classes at our schools, they may decide to become more involved. I mean, that's, you know, a possibility. We also had looked at a communication plan before Dr. Neri came on board, and I would really, where are we with that? I know we had a committee that looked at a few companies to provide communication plan for us.
Yeah, that work has not advanced.
That hasn't gone.
No.
That hasn't gone anywhere. Okay.
When that was right during the superintendent transition, and I think that the decision was made because we were going to be doing a strategic plan
right.
and the like, and we didn't think that we should do the communication plan and then hand it to a new superintendent and say, you know, here's what we think you should do, that it was going to become more formulative with the new superintendent and then come out of the strategic plan and then use that as the basis for communication.
Okay.
If I remember that correctly.
Okay, and I guess that's just stopped, and I don't know if that's part of the strategic plan as well, some kind of a communication marketing.
I think there are major elements within the plan. It may not be the same that you were looking at earlier, so I think at some point we need to have that discussion.
Okay, because within the communication plan, I think that this information getting out to families that they can take 2 classes at our schools is really important. It was obvious to me that, you know, most of them didn't even know that that was an option. So,
I would just like to make a couple comments. I think that, first of all, I think we really owe a large debt of gratitude to the over 500 Madison families who took the time to fill all this stuff out. I know we all get a lot of surveys or people calling us for 5 minutes of our time to answer a few questions, which I never respond to. And so that people would take the time and share their views with us, I think is terrific. As Arlene said, it provides us with a wealth of great information. I agree on the fine arts curricular area as well as the TAG programming. Those are areas that jump out and areas where we actually can do something, I think, and are on the way to doing something, which will help us, I hope, better meet the needs of our Madison residents and serve more of them, which is our goal. The behavioral issue is a tough one, and what's hard to read is the statements from parents who say their kids were bullied and just driven out of the schools. And it isn't only the behavioral issues they identify, but also the fact that they felt they weren't listened to, they felt disregarded, they felt the schools didn't care about them, and they felt that, you know, they were going to go elsewhere. That is something that I think we can deal with, just in terms of customer relations somehow. I don't know whether we want to have an ombudsman in the department or someone, or some way, or training with our principals, or some way to make sure that all our families are heard and that their concerns are taken seriously. But I think there's certainly a lot in there that gives us reason to pause in terms of the extent to which we are failing, you know, so a lot of the families who pay for our services, and we can do better. Ms. Cole?
I know that I found this summary also very useful, and a document that I'm going to keep by me when I'm making decisions, because I do appreciate all the families that did respond. That's that step toward gaining trust and community, and I don't want to miss that. I also think that the behavior and the discipline issues are very complicated, and I think we can go a long way to continuing the discussion that we've been having about PBIS and about having a consistent training. And some of it is, like Mr. Hughes said, as simple as figuring out ways for us to engage principals or whoever it is that we are serving these families, that it's not the other way around. I think I also would like to focus on two things. One is just how much TAG came out and the arts came out, and basically academics came out as a key reason why people are leaving the district. And I think that that really helps me define where the focus needs to be if we want to bring families back in. And second is that I think we've missed an opportunity, and I hope that we can catch up when it comes to looking at, I believe it's between 20% and 40% of some of those families surveyed said they want a choice in how they get education, whether it's online or, you know, I don't know whether they're talking about magnets or charters, but they want a choice in the school their kids go to. And I think we've got to figure out a way to make efforts to give families that choice, so that it seems like it's more, you know, that they have more freedom. And I think that goes back to the fact, what I perceive is that parents know they have a choice, and they are very much consumers of education more than they ever have been. And we've got to figure out ways to attract those consumers. Otherwise, we'll keep losing families. So I hope that this can be just one part of another set of surveys and guides that can kind of guide us along in our strategic planning and those discussions.
Okay. Mr. Winston?
Yeah, just Ms. Severe had said something earlier about, you know, was there a way to thank people for filling out the survey, and I don't know if obviously you sent a letter. Were we able to send a letter back saying thank you or anything like that to our school district?
We did not do that.
Okay. Well, this might be an opportunity. Obviously, we could say something to the effect of, you know, we had a meeting, and you know, thank you for filling out the survey, and we, you know, we've heard you, and you know, we want to take some steps to you know, to do some other things. So, I mean, I don't know if that's something that Superintendent, you thought about or anything like that, but it sounds like a good opportunity.
I think it is a good opportunity. Are we able to do it?
Sure. We know who responded, so yeah. We would be able to summarize perhaps those results and send them back so they can see what others had said.
And I think providing them that summary information would be really nice.
Yeah. Also, too, just one thing. I do think that this was a good document, and let people get a chance to vent. And I guess I've always told people, and you know, just like I'm sure all of you do, you see people all the time, and you know, when they come in front of the board or they talk to you, they're talking about their child. And you know, sometimes, you know, parents, they get into a situation or whatever. Just the stories that you heard in this document right here. I don't think, you know, for some students, you know, maybe they have religious reasons for leaving, or you know, maybe it is curricular, or you know, whatever the reason. I still think that you know, people kind of want to do what they want to do for their child, and as a board, we, you know, it's hard because we've got to do what's best for 25,000 kids. And, you know, I just wanted to just put that perspective out there. You know, I wish we had all the, just reading some of the comments about parents wish that there was a school where all the talented and gifted students went to. And, you know, you start thinking about, well, geez, now if we had that, well, that makes that the lighthouse school. And, it, you know, would we want to do something like that? And I you know, I don't think so. I mean, you know, then we become like Milwaukee, you know, the lighthouse school, you know, these are this is the smart kids school here, instead of, you know, having programs and services for kids at all school and giving kids a chance to do things well everywhere in our district. So I guess I read this and I take what the people say seriously, because again, it's their children, but also again have to know that, you know, there's 24,000 something students in this district that we have to do a whole lot for as well. And so, you know, I hope that we can do some things like the online learning. I really wish we were the pioneers. When I look on TV and I see the commercials for the Monroe School District or whatever, and they've got their, you know, their program, I just like, you know, that should be us, you know. We, you know, we're the big school district, and I think, you know, there's incredible opportunity, I believe, too, going to Wigan.
Ms. Mathiak?
I want to thank the superintendent and his staff for having the will to do this survey. It's sort of like putting a big sign on your back that says, kick me. It is not easy, and I also want to thank all of you for releasing all of the comments. And if you have not looked beyond the summary document, I strongly encourage you to read through the comments. It's not always fun, but it adds a lot of depth and color to the commentary. I have to take issue with something Mr. Winston just said, because I didn't read the comments on TAG as, yeah, there are some people who have talked about, yes, it would be nice to have a school that served kids who are talented and gifted. But I also can say that, having had the experience of feeling that no school served the talented and gifted kids, what most parents want is a school that meets their child's needs. And the thought being that if it is impossible to do that within each school, then couldn't we just have one school so these kids have some place in the district where they can belong? That is certainly my experience. It's the experience of the parents who with me left the district and went into exile. It's what I call a push factor. I view religion as a pull factor for leaving the district, but I absolutely view the concern that children and by extension their parents are being told, you don't belong here, is a very big push factor, whether it's TAG or the arts or curriculum in general, or even whether we respond to bullying, which I think the behavioral issues beg a whole bunch of conversation, because there are different facets from bullying to how do we deal with students who are consistently disruptive to students who may be incapable of not being disruptive. That's a big topic. It's one that we've heard from our expulsion hearing examiners on. It's one that we probably aren't going to solve just by PBIS and more training for our staff. I think we may need to have some bigger conversations than we've had so far. But I think there's a lot in this survey to respond to if we want to contemplate what it would be that would have people who, in many cases, fundamentally believe in public education and reluctantly have to let that belief go because the consistent message is whatever your need is, we don't do that here. I think we can do better, and I think that's part of you know, where I think the strategic plan and the conversations we're having around the arts and TAG fit in, but it's something that we need to be cognizant of.
Kurt, do we have enough information provided in here to establish any sort of a baseline that we can compare if we do future surveys against?
Sure. I think provided we were to follow a similar methodology, we could use this as a benchmark and we can continue to look at it over time. I don't know that I would do it annually, but certainly perhaps biannually or something like that.
Thanks. One thing that did strike that also stuck out at me, I guess, in reading the full comments, which, as Lucy said, I think are extremely important to go through, is a lot of them, you can read them and you say, yeah, I see that. I can see why you'd want to go. I understand your decision. But then when you see the ones that say, oh, we just think these private schools, you can get a better, you know, a more rigorous education than you can in the Madison schools, I just think that's nuts. I don't think it's factually correct. And so I think that while we, I shouldn't say it's nuts. I say,
I'd encourage you to do a curricular comparison.
Well, my point is that there are opportunities of, I believe that there are opportunities available in the public, in our schools, which are the equal of others. And I think that that's subject to check, obviously, and I'm open to be proven wrong, but when I've looked at it, I haven't seen that to be the case. And so I think that while we need to take very seriously the comments that we receive, and I do, I also think that there is a role for us to try and get our message out as well, and we can try and extract from the comments the points where we believe that there might be a room for a little message development and promulgation to see whether we can, in fact, if there is a misperception, if we can address that.
Main Street supports builder and community data pages on your
what people say, and I understand the concerns, and I'm not saying that there isn't validity to a lot of that, but I do think that there is evidence of misperception of the quality that is available in our schools in a number of the comments. Ms. Paffin? Oh, Ms. Cole?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, you know, when I make some of these comments, I am trying to keep in mind that we're talking about over 25,000 kids and that, you know, I'm looking at this as, like, what are the trends? You know, I appreciate that the district is doing this, but it does come down to stuff that we've talked about now for a few years, which is we have problems on our borders and, you know, where the home boundaries are, Leopold, that's where we have a lot of the leavers. You know, transition periods, that's where we're going to really need to focus in the future, those transition periods where parents, you know, kind of make that decision. And, you know,
Main Street supports
look at this,
builder and
I don't
community
look at the
data pages on your public
really
websites.
Bear down,
to get
but,
started, log into the
I
Main Street homepage.
How can we improve? And
click listings on the Main Street
that,
homepage.
Whether, you know, I want to be careful that we don't say, well, we do have the best curriculum around, because I don't. That doesn't ever give you continued improvement.
Click
so,
the add builder
you know,
slash community.
There has to be kind
link.
Of a balance between.
add or update builder or community information in the same manner in which you would maintain listings.
You know, and it's clear
this
that
means that you'll have to add a unique
arts.
Identification number,
parents are,
complete agent assignment,
the
and enter a complete address
for their kids,
requiring
and that they want kids
city,
to connect,
state,
and
zip
they don't
code.
Want kids.
This allows
be,
your project, should you wish, to appear
and
on maps.
They're frustrated
you must complete
by
all of the required
problems.
Fields.
And I think that,
let's start with the identification number.
You know, when a parent says, this school is better than
this
the other,
this is a required field and should
challenge.
Not contain any
you know,
spaces.
To go back and
for the purpose
out,
of our example today, we're going to add Pulte
or
builders.
Or maybe we're looking at it differently. You know,
I'm going to verify
that
this
I've
is
heard
a unique identification
and then
number
they come
before
back.
I proceed.
And you know, if you've been through the system like Lucy and others have.
Now, what will happen is, this should be a descriptive entry. Because
you've
when
seen
the
parents talk,
builder
they
project
know.
Is
transitions
entered,
are hard.
A short link
isn't
will
the
be
created
with
for anybody.
Using the convention www.realestate1.com
and frankly, a lot of it. I mean, now I'm speaking on a
next,
personal
you'll
level. Frankly,
select
a lot of it
the
has to do
development
with who
type.
Your teacher
there are two choices:
who that teacher
builders or
and
communities.
Boy, you know, I'm
now this is
that
a builder,
lucky,
so that will be my choice. But just
we've
so
also been
you get the
and, you know,
sense of this, if you picked communities,
you
would have different
you can
fields
learn it
that
with
would display
kids, but,
on your
as
public
a board
website
member,
versus builder fields.
It has
so we'll
to
select
be
builders
for all, and it has
the
to be
other,
high standards and keep driving that. So that's you know that's why I make the comments that I do, and I thank the superintendent for bringing this forward to us because we really need to have this conversation.
Ms. Passman?
Yeah, I kind of looked at it and I thought. First of all, my heart went out to the parents that said we wanted to stay, if someone had only helped us to stay. Also, the parents that said, thank you for listening to us, finally. I mean, that's something that's very important. And then I looked at this and I thought, what are some of the things we could do internally? Some of the things we're never going to be able to do. Some of these people were never going to attract to Madison schools. And for various, you know, reasons that are good to them. May not seem good to us, but good to them. And you know, we have to live with that, too. For example, I have heard questions. I have heard that such and such happens in this school. Well, as soon as somebody says, I have heard, I want to connect them with somebody who knows, not I have heard. And that's something we've got to be have somebody available for them, some telephone number here in Doyle or elsewhere that we can have them call so they can check up on something for them. Because the I have heards can kill us. The other thing is they wanted someone to help with the transitions when the kids come back into the public school. And I think that's a great idea. Or when a parent is going into a school for the first time, let's say in kindergarten, and wants to walk around the school and wants their child to see what they're doing, have somebody there available to them to help them with that. These are things we can do. We can certainly arrange for that. And I think someone called it a transition advisor or an admissions counselor or something like that. Not, hey, walk around the building and I'll get to you in a few minutes. You know. And then, of course, yeah, right. Some of the things I read that our teachers say make me as a teacher cringe. And I know that some of these teachers are seriously overburdened, but there are certain no-nos when dealing with parents. And when you're dealing with a child of a parent, you're dealing with nerve endings. And we have to be more receptive to this. I admit there were times in my life when I heard a parent say something and I was going to say to them, are you kidding? But you can't. You just can't do that. And I know that parents say, well, my kid's lunch was stolen, and the answer is, well, yeah, there are some kids that have no lunch. It's true. It's absolutely true. But to that parent, that child's lunch is very important, and you're going to have to deal with it. I know. It's hard, and it's hard not to laugh at it, and it's hard to say, you know, look at what some kids are living in, what misery they're living in, what hell holes that you can't even imagine. And on the other hand, you know, my kid lost their lunch money. So we have to be able to do that within ourselves to help this. And I think public relations is something you've talked about for a while, Ed. You know, reach out to the public. And frankly, I would love to hear sometime what's good about our schools. And I know there's a lot of good stuff. Can't we have a survey on what's good about our schools? You know, I know we've got so many great teachers out there. And it's not luck. We have a great deal of fantastic teachers. And you know that and I know that. That have saved your child in spite of everything. And I'm sure in those private schools there's some good teachers and bad teachers too. Let's face it, the law of averages comes everywhere, reaches everywhere. And there are good dentists and bad dentists, and good lawyers and bad lawyers. I'm sorry. Only good lawyers. So we have this in society in general. And we also have to remember that we have just come out of an age of me. What's in it? We're still in it. What's in it for me? What's in it for my child? I want it for me. I don't care what happens to anybody else. But we can't on the school board deal that way. We are elected to help every child and work with every child. And so we have to put these things into a certain perspective. But I think we have to do the things that we have to do, that we can do internally, certainly. Yeah. That's right.
Ms. Mathak? How about Ms. Morris?
I understand the feeling of couldn't we have a survey about what's going right. In fact, when I was an East parent, that was one of my biggest frustrations because there were so many talented, awesome, inspiring teachers, but that's not what people heard about. The cautionary thing I would add is that we also need to understand the limit of PR. And that is, you can have all of the positive storylines you want, but if your kid or your kid's best friend is going to school every day and getting pushed around and beaten up on the playground, it's just going to make us look like liars. So there are two pieces. One is accentuating the positive that we have right now. And the other is building towards the positive and celebrating our successes as we move along. And, you know, I think we've been doing some of that, but I just think we also need to be careful not to oversell, because there are reasons why people leave. I get a lot of phone calls. I get a lot of frustration, and I think that I would take it seriously and see if we can't fix some of the things that are really pointed to in those comments. I think we can, but it's time to move. I mean, some things like the bullying thing, gosh, we got the expulsion exam, you know, hearing examiners asked us to do something about that over 2 years ago. And we've taken little steps, but maybe we need something more focused.
Ms. Moss?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment about, make some observations about some of the comments. I was one of a group of parents who actually came to the public school from Catholic school, and you can pay me later, Mark. I think one thing that we do so incredibly well is that we accept all kids, no matter their learning styles, no matter their backgrounds, and we work with them the best we can. And for my child, that was a much better situation than being in a more homogeneous, large classroom where there was one teaching style, and if you didn't fit that into that box, then you were sent to a tutor and you were told that probably your child has a learning disability. So, you know, just kind of on the other side to make a comment, and, you know, the private schools do have bullies. They do have kids who disrupt classrooms, and I don't want to discount anything that the parents say, but I really don't want us to forget what we have as well in our district. And kids are kids wherever they are, and I do think there are some things that we can do to bring more families like the people that I knew who came back to the public schools, and then there are others, and then there's a big, and I do think PR is important, because we have to be able to do something about that playground grapevine of 3-year-olds where people are saying, I heard bad things go on in that school. I heard they're having a rough time at that school. And I don't know where those things come from. The rumor mill just runs and runs and runs. And so I really think that we need to figure out what to do, because once the families that I know who moved from the private parochial school to the public schools have all been incredibly happy. So, and it was a lot of families. So I just wanted to add that.
Ms. Silvera?
I'd like to make a motion that Ms. Passman call all the families that have left because of anti-school board comments.
I'll be very happy.
And channel her passion into. Just kidding.
If I could add one other thing, so often it comes down to the principal, and if the principal is an ambassador for the school, it makes all the difference in the world. I was at a meeting sometime in the last 6 months with Mike Hernandez from Sherman, who, you know, people have said bad things about Sherman, and he met with folks from Maple, parents from Maple Bluff, and said, come here and tell me your problems or what you've heard, and let me address them. And people came and talked very openly about what they heard were, you know, problems, the same comments you read here. We hear that discipline's a problem. We hear that you can't get a good education. And he addressed them. And I think if our other, you know, that's a best practice to me. If we can have our principals out there understanding that public relations is part of their job and selling their school to their community is part of their job, I think that would have some effect in addressing those what I hear sort of comments. Anything else? Okay. Update on next steps relative to the proposed strategic plan. Superintendent?
What I crafted for your review was a memo that outlines the next steps with the goal of trying to come to a closure relative to the proposed strategic plan. I won't go through what's there because you've had it and you've read it, but if there are any questions about it, I'd be happy to respond. But again, the goal is to try to boil down all the input that we have, try to focus on some priority theme areas or within the plan, try to make recommendations, and that would be for the third meeting, you know, if you find this acceptable.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any comments on that? We all commented out? I believe we are.
The question about boundary
changes. Oh, boundary changes.
Come up. Yeah. I've had many people, including people in my own household where I live.
Sorry. And so when is that coming up for discussion, Superintendent?
The intent is to put that committee together this fall of the schools that we identified earlier that needed specific focus areas. I can assure you and our public that we have not begun in earnest or even at all to develop those options. We'll have representation from each of the schools, and that's when that work will happen.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone have a motion?
Adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.